From Talishukra Vas Archangel. Subject: A Breakthrough. Maybe. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date: Monday, April 27th, 2398, 14:32:48-0 GST. Dear Benjamin, good news to report on the Halo Acclimation Project. Morden has had a test group living in Soliston under open protocol for the past 3 weeks, and both illness rates and severities are markedly reduced from the 2395 experiment. The statistics are still not comparable to the flotilla, and the quality of life isn't acceptable for long-term settlement, but it's a major step forward. It shows that the treatment vectors he's been developing may be the right direction in which to proceed. We are now seeking approval for a larger-scale test. We have hundreds of eager volunteers, but all sapient experimentation must be approved by the Conclave, nor would Morden's ethics permit him to proceed otherwise. Depending on the data we get back from that, we may be able to determine definitively whether we are on the right track. If we are, it's all a question of refinement. If not, it's back to square one. Again. Cross your fingers for us. Love, Tally. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject: A Breakthrough, Maybe. To Talishukra Vas Archangel. Date: Monday, April 27th, 2398, 16:02:20-0 GST. Dear Tally, that's terrifically encouraging news. I'm pulling for you. I'd offer to throw the IPO's growing TechSci resources behind you as well if you want them, but frankly, I think you've already got the best person in the galaxy on the job, so all we could provide is basic back-checking. Still, it's available if you want it. Deu Tamu, G. From Talishukra Vas Archangel. Subject: Kriftet Politicians. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date: Friday, May 1st, 2398, 16:12:32-0 GST. Dear Benjamin, no joy with the Conclave. They want to proceed very cautiously after what happened during the 2395 test. We're only authorized to run further trials with different groups the same size as the one we just completed, one at a time, until we've accumulated enough of a statistical base that we can come closer to guaranteeing success in a large-scale test. Morden and I tried to explain to them that that isn't the way science works, but they don't want to hear it. Unless we can promise them ahead of time how it will come out, they don't want to take any but the smallest steps at a time. I suppose I can see their point, but it's frustrating and disheartening for our volunteers. They want to go ahead. They're not worried about getting sick. Some of them wouldn't even mind dying if it got us somewhere. Obviously, we don't want to risk that, but it shows how committed they are to creating a better life for their children or their children's children. Sometimes I despair of the Conclave. I truly do. I suppose I should look at the positive side of it and say that at least they're letting us do this much. Without Morden's relentlessly upbeat attitude, I'd have thrown up my hands a long time ago. At least with Tangent's help, we have a farm working. Its produce is only cleared for use in Soliston, as part of the experimental settlement project, but early test results show that what we're growing there is every bit as good as what comes off the flotilla's ag ships. I thought of you helping to plant the melon field in Goodyear. Love, Tally. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject: Babylon 3. To Talishukra Vas Archangel. Date: Friday, November 13th, 2398, 11:12:03-0 GST. Fucking Batarians. G. From Talishukra Vas Archangel. Subject: Babylon 3. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date: Friday, November 13th, 2398, 11:30:21-0 GST. What? Oh, I see. I'll just be here if you want to talk later. You must be far too angry to carry on a conversation right now. At least this time I know for certain that there's no way your father could have been involved, since he's here. Do you want me to tell him? Tully. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, Re, Babylon 3. To Tully Shukrov, Os Archangel. Date, Friday, November 13th, 2398, 11:35:21, minus 0 GST. Yes, please. Can't believe this happened again. I was afraid something like it would, though. Knew right from the start what I needed to do and pretended it'd all be okay and I wouldn't have to go to the trouble. IPO needs its own navy, which means I'm going to have to set one up. Again. Christ. Sorry, so terse. You're right. Too pissed off to be civil right now. Might vidcom you later on once I've calmed down. Screw the expense. Mahal Kita, G. 2399. From Tali Shukravas Archangel. Subject, A Dangerous Child. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Sunday, June 20th, 2399, 18:39:19, minus 0 GST. Dear Benjamin, happy birthday to you. I just got home from Talizora's birthday party, and I think it's now official. That child is dangerously clever. For her birthday, she asked me for the casing for one of the incomplete monitors Morden and I found years ago. I saw no harm in that. Unknown to me, she also asked Morden for certain of the internal components and her mother for an energy cell, then spent the afternoon, after cake and ice cream, assembling them all into a working robot. It can't do very much. It has no internal logic systems and simply operates as a remote sensing drone from her Omnitool. But that's not the point. The point is that she's 7 years old and understands both how to maneuver the three of us into providing her with all the parts she would need for this project and how to assemble them into a working device. She's dubbed it Chiktika Vaspaus. Why Vaspaus? I have no idea. We don't even have a ship called the Paus in the flotilla. And refuses to be parted from it. Oh, and the part that glows blue on tangent is pink. Rael is annoyed, which is only going to make Talizora more adamant. He was recently promoted to first officer, and is apparently concerned that her tinkering with monitor parts will play poorly with the brass. Which, to be fair, it probably will, but so what? I do wish he could look beyond his precious career for a few minutes and just appreciate his daughter's genius. I suspect he hoped for a son. Certainly he expects she'll be a soldier like him, which everyone else around her can see is patently absurd. She attends to her military studies diligently, because she's that kind of child, but her heart clearly belongs to engineering. Fortunately, Zira and I are here to offset his excessive zeal. Love, Tally. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, Re, A Dangerous Child. To Tully Shukravas Archangel. Date, Sunday, June 20th, 2399, 19:21:39, minus 0 GST. Ha! I love this kid, and I've never even met her. She sounds like Mini-You. I wish I'd had a robot friend at that age. It would have kept me out of so much trouble, and gotten me into so much other trouble, probably, but what the hell. Also, wait, she's 7, and Rael has her in military training? Milujite, G. From Tali Shukravas Archangel. Subject, Re, A Dangerous Child. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Sunday, June 20th, 2399, 20:03:34, minus 0 GST. Yes, as a matter of fact, he does. She won't be allowed to start the really physically demanding training until she's old enough to have a proper biosuit. There are no clean rooms large enough to hold facilities for that kind of thing. But he's had her studying small unit tactics, military history, weapons technology, and such for more than a year, and she has a personal fitness regimen she does every morning. I don't object to that so much. A healthy body is important, especially when you're Quarian. But I can't see how cramming the child's head full of the Battle of the Kron Drift at the age of 6 is in any way helpful. As I said, her mother and I do what we can. Zira makes sure her other studies aren't neglected in favor of too much of what she calls Rael's Navy nonsense, and I ensure that she doesn't completely lack for opportunities to just be a child. We don't get many of those growing up on the flotilla anyway, but no one can be serious all the time. Not without ending up like Rael, anyway. Perhaps she needs a vacation. We don't receive our first permanent biosuits until adolescence, but they can be custom-made for smaller children. They don't last long because children grow so fast, but for a 2 or 3 week trip, they're perfectly adequate, and it's useful training for later in life. Rael would never countenance the expense of such an extravagance, but Vedic and I don't answer to him. If we want to take our granddaughter to visit friends in New Avalon at our own expense, I doubt he will stop us. Love, Tali. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, Re, A Dangerous Child. To Tali Shukravas Archangel. Date, Sunday, June 20th, 2399, 21:17:54, minus 0 GST. By all means, come ahead. We'd be absolutely delighted to have you. Tali Zor is in between the Ragnarok wave and the twins in age, so she should fit right into the pack. And our schools here are on summer break for the next couple of months, so they won't be wandering off to school and leaving her all alone. I bet Corbin in particular will love her. He's a very technical boy. Let me know the dates you plan to travel, and I'll make arrangements on this end. As you may recall from when you and Vedic were here in 88, I've got a guest room with its own en suite that can be clean room ready in a matter of a few minutes, and we already know I can ISO the kitchen with a little work. I just need to source some right-handed ingredients, which isn't hard in a city with a Turian town. You can't bring the kid to New Avalon and take her home again without Shyam in between. Ooh, this is exciting. Best birthday present I've had in years. Menseni Inakshir G. From Tali Zora Nar Raya, Tali.Zora, Raya.Navy.QU. Return path, Tali.Zora, CVP2402.Raya.Navy.QU. Subject, thank you. To Benjamin D. Hutchins, Griffin, IPO.CC. Date, Monday, July 12th, 2399, 08:44:11, minus 0 GST.
Dear Mr. Hutchins, thank you and your family very much for your hospitality for the last 2 weeks. I had a wonderful time. New Avalon is a beautiful city. I especially enjoyed the Foundation Day fireworks. I hope to return on my pilgrimage. Sincerely, Tali Zora Naraya. P.S. Chiktika says thank you as well.
From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, Re, thank you. To Tali Zora Naraya. Date, Monday, July 12th, 2399, 09:45:12, minus 0 GST. You're very welcome, Tali Zora. It was great having you here. You're both welcome to come back anytime you want. And you don't have to call me Mr. Hutchins. Ben is fine, or Benjamin, or Griffin. Your father doesn't need to know. Yours, G. 2400. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Return path, Griffin, bombsite.ipyards.ipo.zc. Subject, the more things change. Date, Monday, April 3rd, 2400, 10:12:32, minus 0 GST. Dear Tali, if this message's originating server name looks familiar, that's because this is the very same computer system from which I sent you my first message 20 years ago. And I'm sitting in the very same office, in the very same chair. Just to make the symmetry as complete as possible, I'm even listening to the same piece of music. Remember I said the IPO needed its own navy after the Babylon 3 debacle? Well, here's where we're going to build it. I've spent the last 10 months pulling together the manpower to dust off this old place. The original Utopia Planitia Naval Shipyard Complex at Zeta Cygni II, and get it ready to roll again. We pretty much left it alone back during the WDF reconstruction because of the much larger and shinier facilities we had Sphere-side, but those are working to capacity, maintaining the WTF and doing contract work for Starfleet and the Seleucian Navy. And rather than wait around for Re-Rob and Wolfgang to expand operations over there, we all decided between us that firing up the old yard would suit our purposes better. Mind you, it hasn't been, and continues not to be, easy. Some of this stuff hadn't worked for a while when the yard went down, and so has been gathering dust for more than 110 years. Restarting the yards and beginning on Babylon 4 at the same time is pushing the envelope of what even our resources can swing. But it has to be done. If we can have the first of the IPO Space Force's new ships online by the time B4 is, say, pressure ready, we'll be doing about right. In the meantime, I've swung a deal with Daver and Noriko for the WDF to cover our asses at the construction site, with some backup from the Free Spacers. I'm a little nervous about that, but it'll have to do. I've had a bunch of ideas kicking around in my head for the ships we should build once we have these yards running again. Obviously, we could just load up the schematics for ships we already own the type certs for and start cranking out Connies and Iowas, but I've been thinking. We're probably going to have a hard time recruiting as many experienced spacers as we'd need to crew a reasonable-sized fleet of ships like that, and we don't have the time to set up a training command and start from scratch. Even in reconstituting the WDF, we were able to restart the academy and bring through 3 complete graduating classes before it all hit the fan. I just don't think we're going to have that kind of luxury with the Space Force. Complicating that, there are basically 2 courses of training a person needs before you get a competent spacer. There are the technical aspects of the job itself, how to operate the ship's systems, how to steer and fight and fix her. And then there are the basics of being a spacer. I ran up against this when Babylon 1 was destroyed and Dad nearly got himself spaced. He hadn't been properly trained as a spacer, and it never occurred to me when I tapped him to build the station, and it nearly got him killed. I should have remembered from my own academy days, first you have to be taught how to survive out in the black, then you learn how to make the toys work, and all that takes time. I was in this office yesterday, mulling over that very idea and playing Tempest on my Omnitool, when it hit me. The beauty of the Omnitool is that it's so simple and intuitive a child can use it, and yet so powerful and flexible that an expert can make it do almost anything. I've had mine for almost 20 years now, and while I'm still no expert, it didn't take me very long at all to become at least basically competent with it. And I thought, why not build a starship that operates on the same principles? Think about it. With modern automation and virtual intelligence technology, we could build a starship the size of, say, a Saracen-class destroyer, but with a crew requirement no greater than that of a Predator-class scout. And except for a few very specialized positions, the engineering staff, mainly, and medical, we could design the crew systems to provide the same sort of context-sensitive help that Omnitools do. We could build warships ready to be crewed by, not lay people, but reasonably sharp individuals who may not necessarily have comprehensive training as spacers. And if we could do that, and make it work reliably, then the training we give most of the crew could focus on teaching them to be spacers. And it could be that much shorter as a result. The rest would be a matter of learning on the job. If we made the systems adaptive enough, they could even pick up on the crew's progress along the learning curve and streamline themselves, get out of the cleverer crewman's way, more or less. I know you're shifting uncomfortably and giving me that sidelong look now, but I'm not talking about fitting every ship in the fleet with an AI. That wouldn't be practical anyway. The only AI protocols I trust enough for a job like that are Clueless and Halos. Larry would be hurt to hear me say that. He's very proud of Stasis, and justifiably so. But Stasis constructs are better suited to organization and enterprise management than starship operations, in my opinion. Producing a sufficient number of AI cores under Clueless would be flat-out impossible, and procuring that many Halos systems and making sure they're all metastable would take longer and cost more than building the ships they'd go into. And in either case, then we'd have to go through Turing, and half of them would probably quit and go off to run donut shops. I don't know, maybe it's a pipe dream. For certain, it'll take a hell of a lot of work. I have to learn to delegate. I keep having ideas and then ending up hell-bent on seeing them through myself, and since they all take years and years and I don't have that long, I just end up getting busier and busier. E. Ford on Argao, G. From Tali Shukravas Archangel. Subject, re, the more things change. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Monday, April 3rd, 2400, 1301-45-0 GST. Dear Benjamin, having seen in person how busy you were last summer, and that was making a concerted effort to block out some free time to spend with us, I can certainly concur with your sentiment about delegating. Your idea about borrowing a page from the Omnitool design handbook, so to speak, and applying the principle to the control systems of a starship is a very intriguing one, though, and I think I may be able to help you with both items at once. Let me introduce you to a friend of mine, Emdra Daka Vathrilkar. She's the daughter of Admiral Rael Daka, my son's namesake, who was captain of the Archangel when I joined her crew. Emdra is a brilliant software engineer and the lead designer for the Quartec Consortium, the national enterprise we set up, at your recommendation, I might remind you, to patent and market our Omnitool technologies to the galaxy. There are a number of features we don't sell to the general public. Your Omnitool has most of them because it's a fleet model, not one of our commercial offerings, and Endra knows how every single one of them works from the inside out. Some of the technologies Endra knows about are considered state secrets, so you'll need permission from the Conclave Subcommittee on National Security and the Admiralty to incorporate them in your ships, but given the Conclave's support for the IPO, I think you'll be able to convince them if you can provide assurances that your new yards won't be selling its products to anyone other than the IPO fleet itself, which it sounds like you can. As for the hardware, well, I haven't worked directly in starship engineering for many years. As you know, I've been rather permanently sidetracked by the various Halo projects. But if you need a sounding board for any of your ideas as you develop these new ships, I'd be happy to tell you what I think. Oh, and for the record, don't think I don't know what you're always saying when you sign off. This time you tried to catch me out, but I happen to know the phrase you wanted was Ridu in di Garudi. What you actually said means, this road is closed, which I sincerely hope was not some sort of attempt at being metaphorical. Kave Kanem, Tali. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, re, the more things change. To Tali Shukravas Archangel. Date, Monday, April 3rd, 2400, 1723-02-0 GST. Ha! I knew you'd catch me. No, it wasn't an attempt at a metaphor, it's just the only other phrase I could think of off the top of my head in that language. I'd love to consult with your friend, maybe with an eye toward hiring her and a team from Quartec to develop the system, if she thinks the concept's workable. If we can get it to work, it could be a major feather in the Union's cap to have something like that come out of Scandia. As you've told me many times, the flotilla's always looking out for new PR opportunities, after all. Du ich schochmach mi vam. G. 2401. From Tali Shukravas Archangel. Subject. What am I to do? To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Monday, July 9th, 2401-11-12-49-0 GST. Dear Benjamin, this is a terrible thing for a mother to say, but sometimes I wish they would stop promoting my son. I know, it's a dreadful sentiment, but throughout his career, every time he's been promoted, Rael has gotten a little bit more intense, a little bit more driven, a little bit more obsessed with the twin lodestars of his life, namely his career and the reconquest of Rannoch. He's convinced that if he can attain a seat on the Admiralty Board, he can rally those who wish to return into a political force formidable enough to sway the Conclave. For my part, I am just as firmly convinced that launching us into a war against the Geth would be the worst mistake since the last one. But Rael believes that war was lost through military ineptitude, not over before it began. If you couldn't guess from these grumblings, he has indeed been promoted again. With Captain Rengeli's retirement, Rael has been advanced to command of the Raya,
and some are saying that it, like his previous promotion to first officer, is simply an obligatory step, for form's sake, before he's elevated to the Admiralty. Among his peers in the Navy, he's considered a charismatic force, a natural leader. Civilians don't often see that side of him. He's brusque with them, impatient with what he sees as their softness and complacency. But he'll have to learn better if he plans to influence the Conclave. The person I feel sorriest for in all this is Tali Zora. The pressure on her increases in direct proportion to her father's prominence in the Navy. Vedic and I played into Rael's hands by buying her the encounter suit she wore on her visit to New Avalon. When we returned, he took the opportunity to send her through primary arms training before she had a chance to outgrow it. The instructors were nonplussed to be asked to put a 7-year-old through the course. They don't call it the grinder for nothing. But he insisted, and in the end they had little choice. Luckily, for her, not so much for Rael, Tali Zora is just as hard-headed as he is, and does not bend easily once her back is straightened. She puts up with much of his pompous strutting because he's her father, and, whatever his flaws, she loves him and wants to please him. But she has limits beyond which she will not go, and he has learned to his cost, and I have to confess my delight, where they are. He threw her into the grinder, and she repaid him by bettering his own scores, which he logged when he was twice her age, and then politely declining to attend the graduation ceremony on the grounds that she was not planning to pursue a military career, so the honors would be meaningless to her and should go to the next highest-scoring candidate. Rael couldn't decide whether to burst with pride or fury. It was a beautiful sight. And then she spent 2 weeks in sickbay being treated for exhaustion, having pushed herself to her limit just to set up that one moment of defiance. Whatever one may wish to say about the child, one cannot claim that she is lazy. Well, I say I feel sorriest for Tali Zora, but perhaps that's not strictly true. She does not enjoy their confrontations, but she holds her own. Zira Vel, on the other hand, can do little but get out of the way when Rael and Tali Zora are on a collision course. Rael is, after all, technically her commanding officer, and don't think for a minute that he hesitates to pull rank when it suits him. I don't say Zira is cowed by these tactics, not for a moment, but she's too professional an officer to indulge in open defiance when he plays that card, and he knows it. I had always thought that Vedic and I taught him better, and that you did, come to that, when he spent his pilgrimage working for you. But his obsession with Rannoch has become so all-encompassing that it blinds him to everything that does not advance that cause. He honestly believes that pushing his daughter so hard is in her best interests, because she'll be of serving age when the time comes to retake the homeworld, and so she'll need to be ready to stand at his side as he leads the charge. And now he's been promoted again. He's one step from his destination, and if his past behavior is any indication, this will only make him harder to deal with. And once he reaches the top of the Navy pyramid, then what? I fear the consequences for all Quarians, not just Tali Zora, if he should somehow succeed in propelling the Union into a war with the Geth. I hate to ask it of you, but you were his commanding officer during his pilgrimage, and in his, admittedly increasingly rare, softer moments he has often spoken fondly of his time under you. He may listen to reason if it comes from you. Keela knows he won't when it's coming from me. Will you please try to convince him of the folly of his ambitions? Even if the Geth have done absolutely nothing since driving us from Rannoch, there's no conceivable way our navy could defeat them. The whole Wedge Defense Force, with all its shiny new ships and advanced weapons, would be hard-pressed to defeat the Geth forces that sent us into exile, let alone what they must have built in the centuries we've been gone. For Tali Zora's sake, if nothing else, please try. Love, Tali. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject: That sure didn't work. To Tali Shukrovas Archangel. Date: Tuesday, July 11th, 2401, 12:42:29-0 GST. Dear Tali, well, I tried, but whatever fond memories Rael may have of me, he's clearly not letting them influence his present behavior.
In fact, he got quite angry. As to Quarian foreign policy, he desired me in no uncertain terms to take my meddlesome Earthman's superiority complex elsewhere and tell some other species what to do with its future, then declared the subject closed. After that, he got quite personal. It seems he doesn't much approve of my continued interference in his family's private lives, his phrase. He said he holds me in large part responsible for the fact that you've, again, his wording here, wasted your life chasing after first me and then the false hope of Halo, and that he suspects I'm a major reason, directly and indirectly, that, as he sees it, Talizora has turned against him. My father may inexplicably be willing to tolerate your constant efforts to lure Mother away from him, he said at one point, but I'm not. I can't stop you from communicating with her, but I can and do forbid you and your family to have any further contact with my daughter. I'm sorry, Tali. I was as friendly and diplomatic as I could be. I've always liked Rael, you know that. But I think I just ended up making everything worse. What he turned on me just now sounded like the kind of thing that's been bottled up for a long time, and I calmed him up and pulled out the cork. On the other hand, now that he's gotten it off his chest and given me the telling off, he's obviously been saving up for a while. Maybe he'll lighten up a little bit with the rest of you. Maybe we'd better just let him cool off for a while. Afakiri Shalehu, G. From Tali Shukravas Archangel. Subject, Re. That sure didn't work. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Tuesday, July 11th, 2401, 1330-12-0 GST.
Keela, I'm so sorry I set you up for that. I had no idea he had such resentment stored away.
He asked me once, many years ago, what you and I were to each other all those years before he was born, and I, wanting to be as honest as I could with him, tried my best to explain. And it seems he's formed entirely the wrong idea of where we stand today as a result.
Vedic will be furious at Rael's ideas, both that you've spent all this time trying to lure me away from him, and that he'd just meekly put up with it if you were. He understands us in a way that Rael clearly does not at all. He considers you a great friend, and he'll see Rael's attitude as a grave insult to both of us. As do I, come to that.
I'm sorry to drag you into my family drama. You must think we're a pack of fools, and in several respects you would be right. Love, Tali.
From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, Re. That sure didn't work. To Tali Shukravas Archangel. Date, Tuesday, July 11th, 2401, 1439-11-0 GST.
Nothing to apologize for. The more I think about it, the more I suspect he didn't really mean at least some of what he said. He's under a lot of pressure himself, after all. Mostly self-imposed, but still. Man's got to vent under those conditions. Maybe I was just a convenient outlet. I'm glad to hear that about Vedic, though. I mean, I knew it already. But it's nice to see it in black and white like that. He's a hell of a guy. You couldn't have done better. I just realized it looks kind of backhanded phrased that way. Not how I meant it, I assure you. I just hope this doesn't bring a bunch more crap down on Talizora. God, when I was her age, my biggest worry was whether Mrs. Hannington would make us sing America the Beautiful in class that day. Patriotic songs were very big at my elementary school, and for whatever reason I've always particularly hated that one. I think it's because even in the fourth grade, my little voice simply couldn't handle the amber waves of grain part. Yegelskar Dig, G. From Talizora Naraya. Subject, I'll be fine. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Wednesday, July 12th, 2401, 02-12-43-0 GST.
Dear Mr. Griffin, don't worry about me. I can handle Father. Look how well his attempt to block me from sending you email worked.
Talizora. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, Project Sovereign, basic spec. 2. Tali Shukra, Vas Archangel. Date, Monday, September 17th, 2401, 1421-23, minus 0, GST. Dear Tali, attached is the basic specification document for Project Sovereign, which we just finished this morning. Obviously, most of the actual engineering remains to be done, but here, in broad strokes, is what the IPOSF's new flagship is going to be. At the big sign-off conference this morning, Vision had an interesting idea. She suggested that we actually prototype the ship virtually, building a fully operational ship in a SimSense environment before we ever cut a single piece of actual metal. That way, the inevitable engineering changes and unplanned snags that the lead ships of new classes always run into during construction can be taken care of much more quickly and without wasting real materials, which, touch wood, means that when we build the physical one, it'll be smooth sailing. It also means we can spend that much more time training up the yard's new tradespeople and getting everything all in a row before we pick up tools and start building for real. Obviously, that'll require an intricately modeled VE. If our virtual shipyard's physics model is even a little bit out, we'll just be designing a really elaborate video game. But Vision's confident that she can take care of that, and if any machine intelligence in the galaxy can, it's her. It also means that when we get the software for the new ship working, we can port that layer directly from the virtual hardware onto the actual hardware, and boom! One of the jobs that's usually the biggest pain in the ass on a new Starship class project, one and done. Been a while since I started work in earnest on a brand new starship type. The last one was Concordia, and that was such an almighty rush job I didn't really have time to enjoy the process. Ki Sakihitin G. From Tali Shukra Vas Archangel. Subject, Re, Project Sovereign, Basic Spec. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Monday, September 17th, 2401, 1730-12. Dear Benjamin, I stand by what I said when you showed me the first sketches. That is an extremely ambitious design. You and your team will have your work cut out for you making it happen, but having seen the list of people you have working on it, I'm convinced it can be done. I wish I could be part of it. Meanwhile, my own work goes on. With Tangent's help, I finally worked out a reliable system for translating the inscriptions we found in the cartographer and other sites around Halo. So far, none has revealed anything helpful about the construct's builders, but we have discovered what it's for. And oddly enough, it's more or less what we're trying to use it for. It was intended as a sanctuary, though I'm not sure yet what from or who for. It seems strangely exposed for a fortress, which makes me wonder if it's supposed to be a part of some larger construct, though Tangent insists that isn't the case, except inasmuch as it was part of a system of several such installations. Unfortunately, he knows nothing of those other installations, other than that they existed, not even how many there were. A prudent security measure, if they were indeed intended to serve as sanctuaries, but frustrating for us now. No one ever builds things with archaeologists in mind. Love, Tali. From Benjamin D. Hutchins. Subject, Re, Project Sovereign Basic Spec. To Tali Shukra Vas Archangel. Date, Monday, September 17th, 2401, 1757-12, minus 0, GST. That's fantastic. Ah, these are exciting times. As for wishing you could be part of Project Sovereign, well, Halo Station 1 has sub-Ethernet broadband now, right? We're building the prototype in cyberspace. Tagrea Mort G. From Tali Shukra Vas Archangel. Subject, Re, Project Sovereign Basic Spec. To Benjamin D. Hutchins. Date, Monday, September 17th, 2401. 2032-39, minus 0, GST. And so much for me having any spare time over the next couple of years. I hate you, Milkman Dan. Love, Tali.